Last night in the Taraweeh Salat, the 26th para was recited. In Surah Ahqaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who grants a respite to people. Sometimes they are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but He gives them chance. Allah ta'ala is very, very kind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything according to a certain time. And during that time, when the time it comes to four, then only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the punishment down. Allah ta'ala is not such, He just punishes a person immediately. So Allah gives a person a lot of chance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hamim tanzeelul kitabi min Allahil azizil hakeem. That this kitab has come down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most powerful. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, together with having power, He is hakeem, full of wisdom. Allah doesn't punish immediately. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that we have not created the heavens and the earth, and whatever is in between them, illa bilhaq, except for a certain purpose. There's an object where Allah has created it. A person must keep the object in front of him. As our Hazrat mentioned a few days ago, what's the object of our life? Our person has come to prepare for akhirat, to get ma'rifat, recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person has come, Allah has created this whole thing for an object and purpose. Wa ajalin mustamma, and it is for a specific time. And when the time will come to an end, eventually a person will leave this world, and eventually the whole world will be destroyed also. This world is temporary, it is for a short while, and it has come for a certain objective. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about signs of His Qudrat and power, that all benefit and all harm lies only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the only one who can give people benefit. Only harm can be removed only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah wants to inflict harm to a person, there is no one to stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some groups of people who are pious, and obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one command which Allah ta'ala has given many places in the Quran, وَوَسْتَيْنَ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah ta'ala commands human beings that they must be kind to their parents. Ihsanan, as we mentioned before, there are three categories. One is zulam and oppression. Where a person oppresses his parents, this is completely haram, it's impossible. You can't oppress another person. You will see the punishment in this worldly life also. And your parents to a greater extent. So much so, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be kind to your parents. Even if they make zulam, even if they oppress you, three times He said that there, you must be kind to your parents. Then Allah ta'ala says, remember your mother, how she carried you with great difficulty, and she gave birth to you with great difficulty, and for about 30 months she was carrying you, she breastfed you, and she gave you milk to drink. What difficulty she went to. So now a person is an intelligent person, she taught him iman. When he reaches the age of 40 at least, he should understand, and even before that he should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But after the age of 40 and you still haven't understood, then you are a very foolish person. So an intelligent person, when he makes this dua, it's a very, very beautiful dua, you should try to memorize it and learn this dua and recite it. Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala waliday. He thinks about the past, and he says, oh Allah, give me the tawfiq and ability to make shukr and thank you for your bounty which you have bestowed upon myself and my parents. He thinks about the bounties of Allah upon himself, and he makes shukr, and he's asking Allah that we do not have the ability, you grant us the tawfiq. And then for the present moment, وَأَنَا أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I must do such actions, such good actions, which you are pleased. Many people do actions, but it's not sufficient just to do a good action. A good action, Allah must be pleased with that action. Many times a person does a good action, but with a certain, or there are certain conditions also attached to every good action. For example, a person, he came for a tikaf now, but now he put his wife in the shop. So he's done a good action, but the pleasure of Allah ta'ala will not be found in there, because he's breaking the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many other actions a person does. He does a good action, but it's done together with show, with riyah. He's doing it to show the people, to impress the people. He's done a good action, but Allah is not pleased with it. So it's not sufficient just to do a good action. Allah must be pleased with it. That is why after doing any good action also, we should make a lot of tawbah and istighfar. Like how in salat we make dua, Allah, I made zulam, I have done wrong. Please forgive my sins, the mistakes I have made in my salah. After fasting also, the dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at an kulli shay'in an taghfirali, oh Allah, forgive me. Allah must accept all our actions. Ibrahim alayhi salam, after building the Kaaba Sharif, Rabbana taqabbal minna. Oh Allah, accept from us. So it's not sufficient just to do a good action, but Allah's pleasure must be together with that action. And for the future, you're making dua. A person wants investments, he wants, for my future, I need some investments. So the greatest investment a person has is his children. وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَتِي. Allah, make my children pious. Because when I will go in the qabr, they will do good actions, I will get the full benefit of this. One is a physical children also, and a spiritual children also a person has. A person is a sheikh and he's got spiritual children. A person is a ustad, he has got spiritual children. Or any person who goes in the work of dawat and tabligh, those who he is calling towards deen, they also his spiritual children. He will get the reward of the day. So he's saying, Allah, for the future, for my investments, make my children, my progeny pious. إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I make tawbah, wallah, I turn my attention towards you, and I am amongst the Muslims, I am amongst those who are subservient to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people, they will get the highest levels of Jannah. Some Mufassirin have mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given such great rights to the parents in this ayat, which a person can see. So what is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Muhsin Hakiki, who is the one who has done the greatest amount of favors to us? Our parents are doing great favors to us, but compared to the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's nothing. So when these are the rights of the parents, and Allah is prepared to give Jannah, so Allah's rights are far, far greater, a person has to fulfill that. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the other side, a person who is disobedient to his parents are encouraging towards deen, and they are telling him, but he says, uff lakuma, uff, akh, and he is disrespectful to his parents, and he does not prepare to accept what they are speaking about akhirat, about the life of the year after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people will be amongst the people of Jahannam. They will be flung into the fire of Jahannam. So may Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to respect and have honor for our parents. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the qawm of Ad, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, went to them and explained to them for quite a while. He explained to them, they were not prepared to accept. And eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after a long time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after giving them so much of respite, they were not prepared to accept. Allah ta'ala sent the punishment down. On the other hand, the jinnat were normally disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when they come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they hear the message one time from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they humble themselves and they accept the da'wah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a good quality within them. They had the humility within themselves. They accepted. They were successful in this world and they were protected from the fire of Jahannam in the year after. The next surah is Surah Muhammad. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is only taken four places in the Quran Sharif. And this is one of the surahs where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is taken. Everywhere else in the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name with respect. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, ya ayyuhal muddathir. Qualities and titles are given of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But for certain reasons, Allah ta'ala has mentioned the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam four times in the Quran Sharif. So this is one surah in which the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taken. The subject matter of this surah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning taqabul al-kufr bil Islam. Kufr and Islam at loggerheads, fighting with one another. There will be a clash always between kufr and iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people of kufr and disbelief, they are stopping people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have destroyed all the actions. But those who have got iman, they do good actions, and they believe what has come down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will forgive their sins and Allah will correct all their conditions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says eventually jihad will take place. And those who are kafir and disbelievers, they are not prepared to accept. They will become slaves in the hands of Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions certain laws of slavery. Many people unfortunately put a bad name on Islam about slavery. Hazrat Mulana Ashwali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions from Shah Waliullah rahmatullahi alayhi that why is there slavery in Islam? He said, don't think of slavery like how the kuffar have made us think about it. Where they went to countries, they took free people and then they made them slaves. Slavery only takes place at the time of jihad. At the time of jihad, when you are fighting with the enemies and you have captured the enemies, there's one of four things you can do to them. You can either kill the people, but there's no benefit for those people. You can either let them go free, then they will cause harm again back to Islam. They will come and fight with the Muslim people. You can either lock them up in jail, but then it's difficult for the Muslim country to look after all of those people. They have no benefit to the Muslims. They are actually a liability. So the best way which Islam is made is that you will take the strength of the kuffar and divide it and make them slaves and put them in the care of different Muslim people. And it is hoped that they will see the beauty of Islam, and they will even eventually accept Islam. And then together with that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave very, very strict conditions how a slave must be treated. What honor and respect a slave was given in Islam. It was not regarded as a blot and an evil thing. But unfortunately, the Europeans, and when they started making slavery, they made it like part of the nature, and they took free people, and they just made them into slaves. So this Islam doesn't allow this at all. So this is the correct position of regarding slavery in Islam. And there are many, many laws given regarding how a person must look after the slaves. Together with that, how people must free slaves. A lot of encouragement is given. So much so, one Sahabi himself freed 30,000 slaves. Only one Sahabi. There were many, many other Sahaba radiallahu anhu who freed slaves. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people of Iman and the people of Kufr and disbelief. The people of disbelievers, yatamatta'una, the object of life is to enjoy themselves. وَيَأْكُرُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلْ أَنْعَمْ. And they eat food like how animals eat food. Yes, their object is to gobble and just to fulfill and satisfy their desires. Whereas the fire of Jahannam is the place where they will remain forever and forever. On the other hand, the people of Iman, Allah mentions about Jannat and the different rivers which Allah has prepared for them in Jannah. One of wine, one of water, tasty water, one of milk, one of wine, and honey, which they will get, and all kinds of fruits Allah has prepared for them. Allah will forgive them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, can they ever be like those people who will be living in the fire of Jahannam, and they will be given boiling hot water to drink, فَقَطَّعَ أَمْعَاءَهُمْ, which will go through the intestines and cut the intestines completely. Which is the path you want to take? Take the part of Iman, the part of the righteous people. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the surah mentions that if a person is not prepared to accept and he's not prepared to sacrifice his life for deen also, then Allah is not in need of you. وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَىٰ. Allah is completely independent. You are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you turn away from deen, يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ, Allah will choose somebody else besides you. And they won't be like you. They'll be much, much better than you. Allah ta'ala doesn't need a person. So Allah is independent and we are dependent in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we show we are unattached towards Islam, Allah doesn't need us. Allah ta'ala can create somebody else. And Allah will use those people for the khidmat of deen. The next surah is Surah Fatah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions after jihad, people sacrificing their lives in the path of Allah, Allah will give victory to people. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned especially about the battle of Hudaybiyah, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a dream. And in the dream, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw he was going to for Umrah. Sahaba radiallahu anhu were very happy. 6 years they had not seen Makkah Mukarramah. So they start going. And when they come to Makkah Mukarramah, they are prevented by the kuffar, want to fight with them. And eventually Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the kuffar, they make a pact. And first Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu is sent to do negotiations with the kuffar. There is a rumor that he is killed. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes the bayat of Ridwan under one tree, that we will fight to death to avenge the death. Give our lives also to avenge the death of Usman radiallahu anhu. And all this 1,400 sahaba radiallahu anhu, they pledge allegiance to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyhow, after it's found that it was a rumor, it was false. And then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes negotiations with the kuffar. And most of the conditions were like outwardly against the Muslim people. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted it. So much so his own Mubarak name, they refused to have it Muhammadur Rasulullah. They said you must write Muhammad ibn Abdullah. You can't even write Muhammadur Rasulullah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his own hand, he erased it there. And many of the conditions were against the Muslims. But after they went away, Nabi Allah Ta'ala sent the ayat of the Quran, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحَ مُبِينَ. We have given open victory to the believers. And how was the victory? That now the people of Makkah Mukarramah started dealing with the people of Medina Munawwara. And they saw the akhlaq of the Muslims, the character of the Muslims. 1,400 Muslims went at that time. And just 2 years later, when there was the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, there was 10,000 sahaba radiallahu anhum. So many people accepted Islam when they saw the akhlaq and character of the Muslims. May Allah make us amongst those people. When people see us, they also accept Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great detail mentions here about the victory and what Allah has prepared for them. And there were certain munafiqs and hypocrites who were not prepared to make jihad and to go with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They thought Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be destroyed when they would go to Makkah Mukarramah. So Allah mentions about them. And then Allah ta'ala mentions, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah was very, very happy with the believers when they took bayat to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under a tree. So yeah, this shows the happiness of Allah ta'ala. Amongst those sahaba radiallahu anhum, as we had mentioned earlier also before, that what was the differentiating factor between a sahabi and a munafiq and a hypocrite? It was jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why you will find in the books of hadith, a person will say, he's a badri sahabi. He took part in the battle of Uhud. He took part in the pledge of Hudaybiyah. If they took part in any of these battles, Allah has already declared forgiveness for them. Allah is happy with them. No person can ever claim till the day of Qiyamah that they are munafiqs, they are hypocrites. This is a clear sign of the iman which Allah Ta'ala declared in the Quran Sharif. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions at the end of this surah that Allah has promised them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the dream. It is a definite reality. And the following year the Muslims were allowed to go to Makkah Mukarramah. They made the Umrah. But the examination was given of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu the year before that day. And they passed 100%. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Muhammadur Rasulullah. The kuffar tried to erase the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah placed it in the Quran till the day of Qiyamah. Nobody can ever erase it from here. And وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, those who had ma'iyat, who stayed in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a very, very important thing, to have suhbat, to have companionship. By means of this year, sifat and qualities will come into a person. Allah mentions, أَشِدَّاهُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. They were very, very hard against the kuffar. بُغْس فِي اللَّهِ. Hatred for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was found in them to the greatest extent. رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. But they had love and mercy amongst themselves. الْحُبْ فِي اللَّهِ. A person who has got love for Allah's pleasure and hatred for Allah's pleasure, his iman is perfect. Allah said they had love amongst themselves, a lot of love amongst themselves. Many people say unfortunately this Sahaba they had hatred amongst themselves and they fought amongst themselves and they one person stoned the Khilafat. Allah says it's a lie. Ruhama ubainahum. How much of love amongst themselves they had. So much so, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu's daughter was married to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu used to name his own children, Abu Bakr, Umar. His grandchildren, Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman. So how much of love they had amongst themselves. Unfortunately, some people, they say, as it comes in this ayat here, لِيَغِيْضَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. But the kuffar get angry with them. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi says, whoever gets angry with the sahaba radiallahu anhum, Allah says in this ayat of the Quran, that they are kuffar, they are disbelievers. Whoever has got hatred in his heart for the sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah Ta'ala says, besides this, تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا. You will always find them in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they had the highest levels of ikhlas and sincerity. These are the qualities staying in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The suhbat. And Allah ta'ala praises the sahaba radiallahu anhum. And Allah ta'ala says it's not only in the Quran. Even in the previous scriptures, Allah mentioned the great rank of the sahaba radiallahu anhum. In the Torah and in the Injil. And until today's time, the books have been changed. Mawlana Idris Sanialawi rahmatullahi alayhi in Sirat al-Mustafa, he's got a whole chapter, about 25 or 30 places, where this, the signs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, till today are mentioned in the Bible. If a person studies the sections, he will see exactly this, all those qualities refer to none other besides Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The next surah is Surah Hujurat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that a person must always follow the Amir. The Amir in that time was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and certain adab and etiquettes, how we must respect our mashayikh, we must respect our ulama-i kiram, respect the Amir. We must not put our eye forward before them. We must have respect in our voices also. Do not raise our voices above the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Especially a person goes to Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, standing before the qabr of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Till today the same rule applies there. The person should not raise his voice before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one harm of disrespect in the other way, أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ أَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. You can lose your iman, you don't even know it. This is the great harm of disrespect. A person's iman can be taken and snatched away. So may Allah protect us. Hereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if anybody comes to you with a news, a person must first verify it, otherwise it can cause great, great harm. And when the Muslim people amongst themselves are having fights and even fighting, then a person must try to make sulah, try to join amongst them, because we are all brothers of one another. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةَ. Believers are brothers of one another. We must try to make Islam, try to join amongst Muslim brothers. And there are six principles Allah mentions here to create unity amongst people. Number one, لا يسخر قوم من قوم. Never ever mock and jest at any person, mock a person, whether it's a man or it's a woman also. And Allah mentions a woman specially here because they have this quality within themselves. Then a person does not taunt somebody. One is mocking somebody, do not taunt somebody. Number three, a person must not give names to one another. You put a certain title, you call a person fatty, you call a person whatever, and the person is not happy, and you are giving him certain names, because the person becomes upset because of the day. Then do not have bad gumani, do not have bad thoughts about other people. Always try to have good thoughts about people. Number five, do not spy on one another. Look for faults. Do not spy and look for faults in one another. And number six, do not make ghibat. As our Hazrat mentioned yesterday, to backbite of one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you like to eat the flesh of your dead Muslim brother? You dislike the day, so how can you like to eat the flesh of your Muslim brother? Physically a person is, when he's eating the flesh, and the smell and the stench which comes out in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, one day, it was a very, very bad smell. And then they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, this is the smell of the munafiqs, the hypocrites, because they are making ghibat about the Muslims. They are backbiting. So ulama posed the question that how come in today's time you don't get the smell? So one reason they say maybe it was a miracle in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah exposed it to the people. But the other reason they say is that perhaps in today's time, because the bad smell has come around, it's so common amongst everywhere that we can't even get the smell. Like when your person is staying in a bad area, where there's a very bad smell all the time, and he doesn't feel it, he doesn't get affected by it. Because in time of Sahaba, there was a lot of purity. They could actually get the effects of it. But in today's time, unfortunately, we are living where there's so much of bad smell around us, the person doesn't even feel the evil effects of that ghibat and backbiting. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah has created us men and women, and Allah has made different tribes. And the main thing of making tribes, لِتَعَارَفُوا, so you can recognize one another. Not because of racism, I am better than somebody else. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honorable of you in the sight of Allah Ta'ala is the one who is the most piety and taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at your taqwa and your goodness and your piety, and not at your color, and not at your skin, and not at the size of your body. The main thing is a person's taqwa and a person's a'mal, a person's actions. This is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that just to say I have accepted iman is not sufficient. Allah wants to see a person now, he must have the yaqeen in his heart of him. لَمْ يَرْتَابُ. He must not have any doubt at all. And he must make jihad, mujahada, sacrifice in the path of Allah Ta'ala with his wealth, with his lives. These are the truthful people. It's not sufficient to say that I've accepted iman. And some people come and say that they are doing a favor. I've accepted Islam, I've done a great thing. Allah says, بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah has made ihsan in favor upon you, that Allah gave you hidayah towards iman. So you must appreciate this ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't feel I am doing the Muslim people a favor that I have accepted iman and Islam. The next surah is Surah Qaf. In here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about akhirat. The day of Qiyamah is a reality which will definitely take place. And there were some people in the past who did not accept it. They eventually were destroyed. on the day of Qiyamah, every single person's eyes will be very, very strong, and a person will be able to see exactly what he had done in this world. And the fire of Jahannam, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ, it will be said to Jahannam, are you full? And Jahannam will be saying, هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ, is there any more, is there any more? It will be so big it will become, it will be asking for more and more people. And there will be angels, they are writing down every single action of a person. So a person must always keep this in mind. Whatever I am doing in my life is written down. I'll have to answer for it on the day of Qiyamah. The last surah is Surah Al-Dhariyat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions about the day of Qiyamah, that a people will definitely, they will be rewarded in the year after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you must have qualities. And those who have taqwa and piety, they will be in the highest levels of Jannah, Allah will grant them. They were the people who in this world had the quality of ihsan, of sincerity, and they used to do good towards other people. And at night they used to see very, very little, but they used to make the hajjud for quite a portion of the night. And wabil ashari hum yastaghfirun, at the time of sari they used to make istighfar, oh Allah, I could not fulfill your haq. They never used to get pride within themselves. After so much of ibadat, they used to make tawbah and istighfar. In the money which they had, they used to fulfill the rights of people, the poor people, and people who do not have money. And they used to take lessons from the signs which Allah Ta'ala had created. Ya Allah mentions three signs. One is in the earth. A person must look in the earth, the different mountains and the hills and the caves and different places. He will see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa fi anfusikum, and then look into your own self also, and a person will see the great signs of the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can't you see how Allah has created you in the different ways, the different tones, the different colors, what and what Allah has created? The more a person will ponder about himself, he will see the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa fi samai, also in the heavens a person must look, and he will see the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala grant us all these realities.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inshallah, we will read a hadith regarding the virtues of dhikr. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة فأبطلها قول لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماتة الأذى عن من الطريق رواه الستة. حضرت ابو هريره رضي الله عنه سے مروی ہے کہ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ ایمان کی 70 سے زیادہ شاخیں ہیں. بعض روایات میں 77 آئی ہے. ان میں سب سے افضل لا الہ الا اللہ کا پڑھنا ہے, اور سب سے کم درجہ راستہ سے کسی تکلیف دہ چیز, ان لکڑی کانٹے وغیرہ کا ہٹا دینا ہے. نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has said, ایمان comprises of more than 70 branches, the most virtuous of which is the recitation of لا الہ الا اللہ, and the lowest or easiest branch is removing obstacles from the pathway. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Iman comprises of more than 70 branches, the most virtuous of which is the recitation of La ilaha illallah, and the lowest or easiest branch is removing obstacles from the pathway. Inshallah, keeping this hadith in mind, let us make our dhikr. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. فاذكروني أذكركم أنا جليس من ذكرني دلمرا هو جائك ميداني تو ہی تو ومن تنمي بجائي أبوهن دم لدل غير سي بالكل هو تجائي لدل تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھو جدر لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم یاد میں تیری سب کو بلا دوں کوئی نہ مجھ کو یاد رہے
تجھ پر سب گھر بار لٹا دو خانہ دل آباد رہے سب خوشیوں کو آگ لگا دو غم سے تیرے دل شاد رہے سب کو نظر سے اپنی گرا دو تجھ سے فقط فریاد رہے اب تو رہے بس تا دم آخر مردے زبائے میرے الہ یار رہے یارم تو میرا اور میں تیرا یار رہوں مجھ کو فقط تجھ سے ہو محبت خلق سے میں قسم بے سار رہوں ہر دم ذکر و فکر میں تیرے مست رہوں سنشار رہوں ہوش رہے نہ مجھ کو کسی کا تیرا مگر ہوشیار رہوں اب تو رہے بس تا دم آخر ورد زبائے میرے الہ مجھ کو سراپا ذکر بنا دے ذکر تیرا اے میرے خدا نکلے میرے ہر بن منہ سے ذکر تیرا اے میرے خدا اب تو کبھی چھوڑے بھی نہ چھوٹے ذکر تیرا اے میرے خدا حلق سے نکلے سانس کے بدلے ذکر تیرا اے میرے خدا اب تو رہے بس تا دم آخر ورد زبائے میرے الہ اس دنیا میں جو کچھ بھی ہے سب ہے تیرے زیر نگیں اس دنیا میں جو کچھ بھی ہے سب ہے تیرے زیر نگیں جن و انس و حور و ملائک عرش و کرسی چرخ و زمین کون و مقام لائق سجدہ تیرے سوائے نور مبین کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں اب تو رہے بس تا دم آخر ورد زبائے میرے الہ نعرہ مستانہ خوش میائے دم تابت جانا چنی می بائے دم اللہ جل جلالہ تعالی شہر Allah Allah ichhe shirin aste naam shirosh kalmi shojjanam tamam Allah 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 naam lete hi nasha sa cha gaya naam lete hi nasha sa cha gaya zikr mein taaseere dore jaam hai apne milne ka pata koi nishaan tu bata de mujhko ae rabbe chaha allah 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 hal tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi hal tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi ab to aaja ab to khalwat ho gayi allah 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 allah
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك وأتمم علينا نعمتك وأسبغ علينا من فضلك واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في على درجة الجنة جنة الخلد اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.